When it comes to the weather, it can be a bit of a guessing game. You might have heard about the La Nina events that we've been having for the past 3 years. But what you might not know is that the consecutive La Nina events are unusual. But just how unusual are they? Scientists are fearing the worst, predicting the potential arrival of a La Nina's hotter and drier cousin, El Nino. Kate Simmons, the Physical Climate Risk and Resilience Advisor at the Investor Group on Climate Change, joins us now to speak about what this could mean for Australian communities who are still grappling with the multiple damaging floods that have been occurring over the past 12 months. Good morning. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Dan.
All right, thanks very much for joining us on the air. And then for those of us who don't know what La Nina or El Nino are, could you please explain these terms and what we are currently going through weather-wise?
Yeah, sure. So La Nina and El Nino are basically two phases of ENSO, which is the El Nino Southern Oscillation, which is the climate driver that has a big impact on year-to-year variability in Australia. So you've already identified the two phases, I guess, that have a big impact, but we can also have a neutral phase, which has an average level of risk. So we've been in La Nina for the last 3 years, which is increased rainfall and cooler temperatures. And El Nino, which we may be about to go into, is reduced rainfall and warmer temperatures.
And on that chance of El Nino, what is the potential for an El Nino event to be developing later this year?
It's a really tricky one to tell. There's something called the autumn predictability barrier, which basically means at this point it's sort of challenging to make that call. But at the moment, the Bureau of Meteorology is suggesting that might be possible. But a lot of the other international organisations that predict these kind of things are saying we might be heading in that direction, but they aren't predicting that it will actually develop into an El Nino event.
And there have been, I guess, over the past decade or two, it's no surprise, some escalating weather events. What's different about the chance for this El Nino? Are we expecting more extreme La Ninas and El Ninos over the next decade or just for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, so the research into what these events will look like under different climate change futures is still developing, but there is a suggestion that they may become more extreme. I think in terms of this next one, I guess the thing that we're all concerned about is that, you know, all these risks that may be increased under an El Nino are going to be superimposed on a backdrop of risks already increasing because of climate change. So, for example, the warmest year on record, which was 2016, that was an El Nino year.
Oh, okay. And then, yeah, so if there's one coming again, yeah, it is one to look out for. And especially given the way the La Nina has affected certain parts of Australia with the increased rainfall and the increased flooding, if there were to be an El Nino, could you please run us through what these conditions would be like and then what sort of impact that would have on communities, particularly those still recovering from the natural disasters of recent years?
Yeah, exactly. So for El Nino, what we're really concerned about is primarily, you know, the potential for high bushfire risk and also for heat waves. For bushfires, it's really southeastern Australia in particular and communities that are at the urban-rural fringe. And, you know, some of these communities are still being impacted from the 2019-2020 fires. And I think also what those fires showed us is it's not just the communities that are directly impacted, but, you know, we saw obviously the smoke impacts in Sydney in 2019-2020 that also had a big impact across a wider area. Heat waves will generally affect more people and some communities are more at risk to others due to their geography. So, for example, Western Sydney obviously gets a lot hotter than more coastal areas. But it's also about, you know, within communities, what buildings have been built to deal with those kind of extreme heats. Is there tree cover? Do people have access to air conditioning? And also the demographics of particular areas. So younger and older people are generally more vulnerable to extreme heat.
That is going to be very interesting because, yeah, depending on where you're listening from right now, the heat may get to you in certain ways. And, yeah, it could be tricky preparing for it. So we will have to keep an eye out to see what the Bureau of Meteorology says. For that, though, thank you very much for informing us about this. It's important to take this into consideration as we potentially go into another El Nino cycle. So thank you very much for your time, Kate.
No worries.
No worries. Have a great morning.
Thanks.
And that was Kate talking with us from the Physical Climate Risk and Resilience Advisor, the Investment Group on Climate Change.